Truth or Dare with Sophie. Because if you want something you never had, you have to do or say something you have never done or said. Join us for an hour of fun, fresh perspectives on life in the 21st century, where kids, business, texting, and working out all need to happen at once.
Hi, everyone. This is Sophie Mihalko, and I am so excited to be talking to you from France. Yes, I am currently visiting my family, so kind of different time zone than I'm usually used to. And today we're going to have a very exciting show. We have a special guest that I'm going to introduce in a minute. As I'm introducing her, I want you to think about what is it that you have done different this week? And what has this created for your life? So did you talk to somebody that you would not usually talk to? Did you wear clothes that you usually would not wear? Or did you say something that you were dying to say finally because you stood up for yourself? What is it that you did differently this week? Okay, so our guest today, her name is Claire Stinger. I hope I'm not butchering her name because I actually only called her by Claire. And Claire has a wonderful service that she called Clearing with Claire. She'll tell us more about that. And she's a wonderful person. I know she's a goddess when it comes to essential oils. She has wonderful skills. She's a dancer, a performer, a singer, just an amazing person. So hi, Claire.
Hi, Sophie. Thank you for that really sweet interview. I'm thrilled to be here with you today.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm here at home. I've been working this morning, and I'm drinking some fresh watermelon juice in
nice.
Los Angeles. Life is good.
I know. We are on the opposite side of the world today, and it's pretty exciting. So, Claire, can you tell us a little bit more about you?
Yeah, so I am an artist, and I've professionally trained, gone to art school, all that. I've been drawing and painting all my life, and I've just always loved being creative. I kind of love almost anything creative. I paint, I write, I do performance and dance, as you mentioned. I'm also feel so strongly about people being a contribution to the planet and how we can live in harmony together and contribute to each other with the planet. And so I also love talking to people about natural health and well-being and how they can really create their own lives and their own reality and in the way that they like to live them.
That's awesome. Claire, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me okay?
Okay. Yeah, awesome. I just put in my headphones so that we didn't get feedback. And I just wanted to make sure you can still hear me. Okay.
Yes, awesome. That sounds great.
So Claire, if there's one thing that you felt you have dared doing that has created something different in your life, what would it be?
I feel that my commitment to continuing to be an artist and what I see that as and making work, I feel like that's really been something that felt different for me and has had a lot of challenges but has given a lot to my life. It felt a lot like swimming upstream and going against the grain in a lot of ways, you know, from the moment that I discovered that there was such a thing as art school. I was in high school. My mom always says that I wanted to be the first person to drop out of first grade because I never liked school. And so the prospect of doing four more years of it when I was graduating high school didn't sound so great to me, but my parents really were insisting, you know, you must go to college. So when I found out there was art school, I was really relieved. I was like, wow, yeah, that sounds amazing. Let's do that. But, you know, that whole time when I decided that I was going to be a painting major, you know, everyone said, like, well, how are you going to get a job? What are you going to do with that? But I just knew that was the right thing for me. That was what I was interested in. That's what I cared about. That's what I wanted to engage with. And I knew that I was going to do that. And I was just going to do whatever it took to create my life that way. And I wasn't going to listen to the fear of, like, you know, not getting a job when I got out of school, or what are you going to do? You're going to be unprepared for the real world, all those things. And that's been continuous. I mean, it's such an interesting attitude that, I mean, at least that we have in America here towards being an artist, the whole starving artist concept, the fact, you know, that everyone says, like, well, you can never make money doing that. What are you really going to do? And
of course, so just, what are you really gonna do? Yeah. Art is not for real, right? I know. I love that question. It's lovely. So being a doctor or a lawyer is a lot more real than doing art, isn't it?
Yeah, somehow that's more real. And being an artist is being a you know, out of touch with that reality, and maybe even a crazy person.
Right.
Or maybe, yes. Or either you have to be a crazy person to be a real artist. There's so many interesting points of view around that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, like, so this is the interesting thing for me, because if you look at the people that have created different in this world, so the Einsteins and Leonardo da Vinci and all these amazing people, at some point they were considered crazy, you know, at some point,
yeah.
In order to go and push the boundaries of what we know and create something different, we have mm-hmm. to be considered crazy. In fact, I know this woman, she was talking to an inventor, and this guy came up with ideas every single day. He came up with a new idea, right? So she mm-hmm. asked him, she said, well, how do you know which idea to actually go forward with? Like, how do you decide? Because you have so many ideas. And mm-hmm. this is awesome. He said, unless people say it's crazy, I will not do it. Because that meant somebody else could come up with it, or it already existed if it was not, mm-hmm. if it was, you know what I mean? So that
yeah,
was fascinating for me.
I love that.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, okay, you know what? People have called me crazy when I was doing things like I have a website where I have to make 2 videos every day. So people have called me crazy. I totally get mm-hmm. that. But man, it's fun. Oh my gosh, it's fun. What did you do that was crazy today, Claire, or yesterday? Because I know today is early still. So what did you do that was crazy the last 24 hours?
I haven't been able to squeeze in that many crazy things yet. yesterday, I guess, you know, I've become quite a early to bed person. It feels good to me to go to sleep before midnight. But last night, a friend of mine, an old friend of mine that I actually knew from Boston when I was in school, was out here and she's performing. She's singing, and she's actually singing at a venue that I'm performing at with my band in July. So I wanted to go out and see the venue and see her perform. And it was kind of crazy. I mean, I loved it. I got to see some really different performances. There was a guy up there just playing his electric guitar, singing, and he had projections of his drawings behind him that were really cool. And he was wearing a weird, like a cardboard box that was painted on with a cutout hole for his face on his head, and I was like, yes, that's inspiring.
That's awesome.
So my crazy thing was and I didn't go to bed till after 2 a.m.
Okay. Okay, that's a crazy thing for some people. Absolutely. Awesome. I wonder if our listeners, if anybody wants to call in and let us know, what have you done that was crazy in the last 24 hours, right? So I have this theory, Claire, that unless you're living to your full potential, unless you're actually pushing the boundaries of what you know is possible, your body cannot continue to grow and thrive, and it will actually get sick, and it will actually be less dense, so get older, get sick, if you don't give it the energy that it truly requires to go keep going and beat everybody's ideas of what getting old is. What do you think of that idea?
Oof, wow, that brings up a lot for me, because I feel like, you know, I've always, since I was a kid, I always had various health ailments, you know, was really prone to bronchitis, asthma, allergy, all the stuff that's ultimately kind of little things, but caused a lot of discomfort in my body, especially as a kid, you know, when you have an ear infection and you're up all night, it's terrible. And what I've been discovering over the past couple years, sort of like finally, and also with the help of Access Consciousness, is that, yeah, my body is crying out for these things, and my body just won't put up with certain things. Like, my body, if I work too much at a desk, or working in an office with, you know, a conventional office with a desk and fluorescent lighting, I just get ill. And when I was living in New York, actually, a big impetus for me leaving New York and moving to California was that I was working in an office. It was in a museum, a wonderful museum with wonderful people, but my body was sitting there, you know, 8 hours a day in an office with no windows, no natural light. And I started to have so much pain in my shoulders, and I was so unhappy. Sophie, my boss, the director of the museum, was a wonderful guy. One day he took me into his office and he was like, "Okay, Claire, it's clear that you're depressed. And I get it.
Wow.
I get it. I've been there." He was like, "Maybe we can get you a light box or something to put at your desk."
That's awesome, man.
I know. I was like, wow. Because, you know, without having him reflect that to me, you know, part of me just said, like, hey, this is it. Like, I had a 2-hour commute each way to work on, like, 2 different trains and a bus and then walk 15 minutes. And I would do that in the winter in New York. And it was just, like, my body was just, like, no more. I mean, that's when I developed a chronic health issue that ultimately led me into Reiki, body talk, Access Consciousness. I mean, just opening all these doors for me, because my body just said no. Like, I couldn't get better with the way I was doing my life at that time. And it was boggling my mind. I was doing the diet, all these things. The doctors I went to didn't know. They just were like, "We don't know what to tell you. We don't know what's wrong with you. Maybe you need a vacation."
Yeah. It's fascinating. I love, okay, so this, I think this show is going to be about bodies for a little while, because I personally, like, I feel bodies tell us so many amazing things, and also bodies have the capacity to heal themselves, right? So I have a young daughter who, when she was younger, like 4 or 5 years old, she had a little bit of asthma, but since then it's kind of gone away. And we are visiting my parents, and she got some kind of allergy going on. She had a tiny bit of asthma the other night. And I have heard what to do. I know what to do with her body to open up the lungs. So there's this point right under the armpits that if you like push it a little bit strongly, then the lungs will open up. So it helps people with asthma to just open up so you don't die, basically. And I did that on her, and it worked. Like, she was able to fall asleep without having breathing problems. So The next day, we went to the doctor to get something to prevent asthma. And I told the doctor about it. And he looked at me and he started laughing, just laughing his ass off, that I thought there was something under the armpit that I could push to open the lungs. Like, to him, that was ridiculous. And I'm like, dude.
Talk about crazy.
I know. It is totally crazy, but it works because the body is amazing. And there's all kind of ways to heal and to change things with the body. And if we just listen, it will tell us. It will tell us what to do. So
yeah,
I love that idea of the body's like, it's time to move. Here, I'm going to put you depressed so that you move. I love that.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, around that same time, I had started reading some Marianne Woodman, who's a, you know, preeminent Jungian analyst, and for talking about also like feminine consciousness and embodiment. And that's when I started to realize that I previously had thought of my body as just, you know, almost like an enemy, just like this dense, unaware, you know, thing that I was kind of stuck with. And it, there was an image, I think, in one of her interviews that I read, that it was like this, that when most of us treat our bodies like this poor little donkey that's trying to carry a load up a hill, and we just keep whipping it, you know, to go on. And it's trying to do so much for us and trying to give us so much that we're never aware of. And that really, you know, started to shift my attitude towards my body and start to honor its awareness, which, I mean, it has just given me so much, just, you know, using tools from Access and communicating and listening to my body and what it needed, and realizing that it's really a partnership. You know, I wouldn't be here without my body, and there's so much to appreciate in it, and there's so much that it needs to have a say in. You know, yes. I might, you know, as an entity, I might think, well, that's, hey, I went to art school, but this is real life. This is what people do. They sit their bodies at a desk for 8 hours to get a paycheck in exchange. But my body is not cool with that.
Yeah,
and even though that seems crazy to most people, that it's just something that just does not work for me. That's something I know really deeply now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's awesome. Okay. So as you were talking, I had an idea and I didn't want to interrupt you, and that bam is gone. I know what I wanted to say. So, you know how, Claire, we're always saying we want to like have more money, have more fun in life, have deep relationships, and, you know, all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to me because all of the stuff that we say we want, pretty much 95% of what we say we want in this life actually is for the body. So the money, for instance, you know, is for like nice clothes, nice food, nice travel, you know, nice car, all of
nice
that.
It's,
yeah.
So
for the body. The relationships, the touch is for the body, the adventures, the experiences we want to have, all of this is for the body. And yet we actually just go and don't do all kind of things without asking the body. So
the cruel irony of it.
Have you tried meditating, choosing your thoughts, smoking the herbs, and acting as if? I bet you saw some improvement, but not the real change you were looking for. Do you want some daily tools to start creating the change and the ease you have been asking for? Join us at beingwe.com. That's BEINGOUI.com. Looking for a romantic partner, but your life is already very busy? What if instead of just dating someone, you had someone to create with? Don't just date, create. Join spaciousdating.com.
Okay, so we are back. Sorry for that. Our bodies needed a little break too. Yeah, so the idea that we want to create something, but we don't ask our bodies what we want to create. And we just keep, so like you said, you were sitting in an office 8 hours a day with no daylight, or, you know, I mean, I'm looking at planes, for instance, and I was flying with my two kids in coach for 10 hours a week ago.
Wow.
And I was looking at the insanity of the space. So there's very little room. The person in front of me can just almost lay on my lap because it's so tough. We can barely move around, and it's just for 10 hours. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm very grateful that I can fly safely from one side of the world to the other, but damn, the bodies are taking so much torture in that. And then we're visiting a park right now in France, and the lines, and it's just like, I would love us to really question, okay, what are we doing to our bodies here? What are we working with our bodies, contributing to our bodies? It would be awesome to see what we could create in the world if we actually ask our bodies for more space, more ease, right?
Yeah, absolutely, on a continual basis. Because it's interesting, too. I mean, to be totally transparent, like, in a way, I still have a lot of that in my life. Like, I still have a lot of room to do more for my body, because even though I work from home now and I have a lot more flexibility, and I have a lot better lighting and beauty around me, which really matters to me, I still am sitting at a desk a lot of my day, you know? And I still get into the kind of mindset of, I have to do this. I have to get, you know, one or two more things done. Like, I can't just get up and take a walk, or I can't go to the beach. No, you know, that same kind of donkey driving mentality on my body, just in a different and lesser way. So yeah, keeping our eye on that and asking our bodies each day, or in each moment, whenever we think about it, like, what would be the greatest contribution to our bodies and our lives? It's so important, because it's so easy to slip out of it, and everything in our society and culture, it's like, it's going so fast. And
yeah,
I think that's not really, not enjoyable for all of our bodies, certainly.
So, okay, so this is the other thing that I noticed, because a friend of mine has back issues, and he started blaming, a little bit like what you're talking about. He started saying he's sitting too much, he's not, you know, not moving around, all of that. And yes, I totally agree. I mean, come on, moving around and going, taking a walk, the body loves this and will be so much more productive if we could do that, right? And at the same time, the lives that we have created for ourselves actually require different things from our bodies, right? So
yeah,
actually, you and I, we do a lot of work on the computer, and it does require to be able to stand at the computer for a few hours at a time, or at least a couple hours at a time, without pain or without discomfort.
Yep.
And there are some people that have created some amazing devices. Like, there are some chairs and desks that help with all of that. And I'm also very aware that our bodies are adapting and changing and transforming so that we can create without discomfort. And they're saying, oh, okay, so if you work 5 hours at the computer, then we'll go take a nice walk and have a bath. Okay, awesome. Here's what you need to be able to sit for 5 hours. To me, the bodies are able to do that, but we're not really asking our bodies for that, are we?
That's interesting. Yeah.
I know it's a true theory, and this is my theory, guys. I totally get it. This is my truth, and this is what I've seen happen. So I'm totally open to other possibilities, other points of views, whatever you guys think.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting to think about that and how we are adapting. And because that's something I think about a lot is like, well, okay, we're not going to just go back to, the vast majority of us not going to go back to like sleeping in the ground in a cave or whatever you would relate to like the quote unquote natural state for a human body, you know, or walking however many miles a day or working out in the field all day. Like that's not great on your body either necessarily. So yeah, I think it's interesting to look at the ways that we have adapted to it and that for most of us, we have a lot more options of what we can choose for our body. And I think the point you made about kind of each day, like actually asking our bodies for that, like, hey, body, I'm looking at sitting at this computer for like 3 hours now until lunch. Is that cool? Or like, what do you need to do this with ease and joy?
Exactly. You know, I was coughing as you were talking, and I'm like, okay, buddy, we have to talk for another 30 minutes. We'll have to do that. And I do believe that the body will contribute to us and will give us whatever it is required for it to change and transform, if only we can ask. And so this is my encouragement for this 2 weeks, guys. If you can actually ask your body what it requires from you so that you can create the life you want to have. I know one of the things for me is since I started choosing the life that I wanted to have, my body actually does not sleep as much as it used to. So I sleep 5-6 hours a night, and I am on fire. And if I sleep a little more than that, I'm very sleepy all day because my body has set itself so it does not need so much sleep. And same thing for food. If I eat too much food, my body will not be happy. And if I eat just a little amount of food often, my body will be very happy. So it's interesting how my mom is appalled by how much I eat or what I eat all day long. Like, she doesn't get that because she's so used to having 3 meals a day, very important meals with a lot of, you know, tradition around it. Me, no, I'll eat while standing up. I love it. I know. Go ahead.
There's so many, just like we were saying about, you know, choosing something different, like choosing to make art and spend your time doing that and be focused on that. There's so many ideas that people have about what we should be doing with our bodies every day. And, you know, I mean, just the very idea that, like, people will be shocked if you're eating something at a certain time of day. Like, you're making pancakes, but it's 8 o'clock at night. Like, that's really radical.
That's interesting because I think America cracks me up because you guys have so many places that will sell you breakfast all day long. It's very interesting you say that. I think in America, breakfast is
we love some breakfast.
Oh my gosh! But it's funny because for me, breakfast is coffee and a piece of bread. That's pretty much breakfast for me. So it's interesting to see all these omelets and waffles and steak and all kind of stuff. It's just fascinating. Hey, if that works, awesome. And that's the other thing, is what works for me may not work for everybody, and I'm totally okay with that. I'm totally okay with that. So Claire, I wanted to speak a little bit about, this is summer. So in the summer, we tend to take our clothes off and show off our bodies a little more. But at the same time, we also tend to judge our bodies because it doesn't look the way that we think it should look, or it's not in the shape we would like it to be. So what do you ever work with people who have body issues?
I do. Well, especially when I was doing burlesque dancing for a while, that was really my creative focus. And so that was something I thought about a lot, because that was something that I wanted to kind of address through doing this, and performance was what I thought was really cool about burlesque, was the ability to say, like, hey, this is me, and whatever it is, it's awesome, and I'm showing it off, and I'm, you know, celebrating it. And so that was something I thought a lot about, because choosing to do burlesque was very, like, you know, edgy, and for me, it had to do with kind of transforming and healing that relationship with my body that I mentioned, you know, just being like, why, you know, why am I stuck with you? Why are you like this? I don't like that. I wish you were like this or that. And so that was something that, you know, I would blog about and talk about, and that people really seem to respond to a lot when I was doing burlesque. And I actually wrote a little ebook called The Body Disparage Detox Diet.
Wow.
To offer people to help them get started. It's 10 days worth of processes, and it has a lot of access processes in there. And it's just to start looking at that relationship with your body and realize that you can have a really great communication and partnership with your body. So, yeah, I don't know if
So
when I work with clients, like, people specifically have had those kinds of issues with their bodies, and I really get that, and I still live with that and deal with it. And so those are the kinds of things that I recommend to people, is really just tuning into their body, because there is no one size fits all. There is no, like, well, you just need to go to the gym or whatever it is. It's so unique to each person.
You know, Gary Douglas, the founder of Access, talks about how we create our bodies with our judgments. So if we are judging our body to be too sharp, too short, too tall, too big, too fat, then that's what our bodies are going to give us, right?
Oh, now you tell me.
Sorry.
Yes. Wow. How did we destroy and uncreate all that?
Yeah. I don't do a lot of clearing on this radio show, but the thing is, I have found that it's actually not only my judgments, but if I can perceive somebody's judgment on my body and make that solid, then my body is going to do that even more. So even more than my judgment. So if I say, I've got a nice butt, but my mom says I've got a big butt, and I give my mom's point of view a lot of solidity, then my butt is going to be big no matter what I say. It's very interesting.
I definitely know about that. I have so many judgments that are judgments of myself and my mom that are around my mom's perceived judgments of me. It's really a tangled ball.
Yeah, and I also perceive that every single body is dying to be free of judgment, right? So
yeah.
So what what a gift could we be to our mothers or our sisters or the people that have spent a great deal of time and energy judging us? What gift could it be to actually look at this and say, wow, you are wanting to be free from this. This is how you're asking for my help by judging me. Mm. You're asking mm-hmm. me to make this okay. So mm-hmm. it was fascinating because my mom, every time she sees me, she says that I've gained weight. So I started turning this around and I started saying, you know, you're right. Isn't that awesome? And really, like, and I was sincere, like, because I was considered too skinny when I was a kid. So I took this energy and I turned it around and I say, wow, that's really amazing that now I've gained all this weight after being so skinny for so long. It's really cool. And what I've noticed is my mom's body actually started shifting because I was not making her judgment solid anymore. So mm-hmm. it created that possibility in her universe. And it was awesome. It just was awesome. So I wonder, like, what can we create with all, not only with our judgments, but the judgments we perceive of others, of either our bodies or their bodies, and how we can switch that around. You know, I believe we all have the power to change anything. So I would love for people to like try that and really look around themselves and see, wow, I wonder if I can change that point of view. And I wonder if I can change that point of view. That would be really cool. That would be really cool.
That would be really cool. Yeah, I think it's making me think about times when, actually, it's funny, Sophie, we were talking about this when you were a guest on my webinar, but I love cookies. And there have been times when my mom would be like, are you going to eat another cookie? She was like counting the cookies. Uh-huh. And so, you know, just thinking, and I would be so upset. You know, it was like I was just waiting for it to be like, leave me alone, stop monitoring me, stop. You know, but if I could just take that and go like, you know, yeah, I freaking love cookies. Isn't it funny how much I love cookies?
I love cookies. That's awesome. And I wonder, next time if you can tell her, I know, because they're so good on there. Like just really reinforce the idea that you're eating the cookies because they're so good and it feels so good. And I think you and I mean, I know you have chosen to have some energies in your life that many people are uncomfortable with. And I know I have chosen to have those too, which is sexualness, right? So we welcome other people's look. We welcome other people's points of views and judgments, and we actually turn it around and use it for play and for fun and for ease. And there are so many people who feel that they don't know what to do with that. They don't know how to do that. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So is there any trick you have gotten over the years to deal with all of that maybe like you can give people a different perspectives on that and help them?
Oh, wow. Okay.
It is called truth or dare, darling.
Wow, this is a big one. I think that, I guess just that you are sovereign to you, that you are a being of choice, and that the judgments of others don't have to affect you or mean any special thing to you. you know, just understanding that, you know, people have their whole own world, their whole way of being, their whole system of beliefs or judgments, and that whatever they say or think, it doesn't have to impact you in a certain way. Like, I know that there's just, you know, there's a lot of trauma and drama surrounding sex, sexualness, sexuality, and how people use it or experience it in the world. And it's really scary for a lot of people. And I think that just, you know, inviting people to explore that it doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to be unsafe. It can be playful, and taking some of the significance off of it. That's part of what I loved about burlesque so much. You know, it comes out of, you know, burlesque or classical striptease comes out of the history of parodies and the absurd and grotesquerie in theater and laughing at things. Burlesque actually comes from a Italian verb that means to laugh at. So the fact that burlesque brought this lightness to this thing that I myself had made so solid about, like, oh my gosh, as a woman, I need to be a certain way and I need to be attractive, and this is very important. It's very important to be able to be sexually alluring, and it's very important to also protect yourself and keep away the unwanted sexual energies. And in burlesque, that all just kind of gets blown up, you know, that it's,
yeah,
it can be in any way, and it can be something that's so silly and light and funny, and it can be something that that's so personal also, that's brought to the stage and brought to spectacle and to other people. And that's what I thought was really, really fabulous about it, was that I think it's an art form that helps people show that and experience that. You know, I talked to different people who had a lot of, you know, real trauma around sexuality in their life, and that was part of what brought them to burlesque, was getting lightness around it.
Yeah, I love that. That's really, really awesome. So now it's interesting, because I always thought burlesque was a little bit scary. Like, it was,
yeah,
you know,
that too. Mm-hmm.
They're going to do this thing that I don't really want to see on people undress or whatever. And then I saw a burlesque show. My friend was in a class, so she did a burlesque show. And it was hilarious. It was so funny. She came up as a nun. I mean, it was just so funny. They were all kind of little duckies and just hilarious. So it made me realize how much we can miss when we forget about humor, and we forget, like, we make all these points of view that are not ours, by the way. We make all these points of view so significant. Oh my gosh, you know, this person is like that, and this means this, and this means that. And we absolutely stop enjoying so many wonderful things about life and possibilities. It's fascinating. It's really fascinating.
It really is. So many things that I also, that I never thought were like nourishing or things I never thought I really desired to experience. I mean, I remember being at a show in Santa Cruz, where I used to live, and they have a really amazing burlesque troupe there that I was part of. And seeing this performance, you know, the woman who was emceeing that night, she was wearing this latex dress and she was sitting on a balloon. And it was like, because it was like latex on latex, the balloon wasn't popping. And so she was sitting on this balloon and just kind of jumping up and down on it. And it was so funny and so hilarious and so like raunchy, but totally fun. And I was laughing so hard. And it was just like, I didn't know I needed this. And this feels so good.
Yeah. So let's do this. Let's look at one thing that we think is serious or not fun and see what we can have fun, how much fun we can have with it. Would you be up for that?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. All right. So one thing that's not fun for me, let's see, standing in line. I hate standing in line anywhere, but standing in line at the airport security.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Do you want to take a different thing or do you want to take the same thing?
I kind of want to take a different thing because the first thing that came to me would be around money and just like the two things I thought about were just like looking at my bank account and also paying taxes.
Huh. That's funny because I love paying taxes.
See, okay, I think that we can do this because I kind of enjoy, I really enjoy being in the airport. And if you enjoy paying taxes, then maybe we have something good here.
Yeah, for me, like, okay, so my kids go to a public school. The other day, my house was burglarized and the cops came like within 15 minutes. I know that the firemen are always there. If you call them, they're there within minutes. There's so many free services that I get every day that actually I feel like I pay for with my taxes. And I feel like there's this beautiful park down the street from me and all this stuff that I'm like, wow, so glad I'm paying taxes. If I didn't pay taxes, I would not have all of this and my life would not be as beautiful as it is right now. So that's how I see taxes. And can I tell you that every time I start with that point of view, that perspective, I end up paying either no taxes or actually receiving money from the government. So
I'm gonna get real vulnerable here. Like I completely, you know, you saying this, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And I realize that I tend to approach my taxes as like, I don't have this money. I'm not making that much. How can you take this from me?
Yeah. And so if you do that, they'll take it. They will take it. They will take it. Absolutely. It's so funny. Like, you know, I think I've spoken about the idea that 98% of our thoughts, feelings, and emotions are not ours, which means that when we think something, so like you're coming up with this idea, but I don't have a lot of money, so why are you taking it? It's actually putting the thoughts in the administration to take it.
Right.
You're setting that vibe, darling.
Right. I'm creating it.
You're totally creating it. And quick little parenthesis here. I just saw the most amazing show where they were showing how the moon was created, and it came from this explosion, right? This asteroid exploded on the Earth and all these rocks. And I was looking at all of this and I'm like, damn it, that is so much energy. They were showing all the energy and they was like, oh my gosh, there's so much energy. And then they said that that asteroid hitting the Earth is actually what created us, because the animals evolved and then we evolved from there. So it created us. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we have that energy to transform things the same way that that asteroid hitting the Earth transformed the Earth. We have the ability to transform things. We don't even use it. It's crazy.
It's crazy. That truly is the insanity, which is so funny, so backwards that, you know, we think, well, craziness is doing things differently, but it's really, craziness is really not taking all the infinite possibilities we have and creating with it whatever we can and whatever we dream up.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Okay. So, we only have a couple minutes before we wrap up. So as far as the air, well, to me also paying taxes, if I pay taxes, that means I've made money. I've received money. So I kind of like that. Oh my gosh. I kind of like that.
Yeah, to me, waiting in the airport line, something that I think, like, I enjoy people watching a lot, and being in the airport line is a great opportunity to people watch at an extended period. And something that I always associate with waiting in airport lines now is, I can't remember if it was last Christmas or before, but I was waiting in the line at the airport to go to the East Coast for Christmas, and I saw these two really stylishly dressed Asian girls, and I was like, wow, look at them. They have such great style, and I was admiring what they had on, and one of them had on this sort of fuzzy, furry, white, longer, like, coat, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's so cool. I want a white, fuzzy coat like she has. I have cool stuff like this. And then the day after Christmas, I was walking around with my mom and my uncle, and in a shop window was a coat almost identical to what she had on that was on sale, and I ended up taking it home with me.
Nice. It's funny, I was really prepared to have a long experience at the airport last weekend, because I was so prepared for it. And so I was like, okay, whatever, I'm just going to go with the flow. Then actually, it was a very short experience. So that was also very interesting. Yeah. There's still something about it, I guess, in the attitude. Like, I had to teach my daughter not to say the word bomb, you know, and because she was like, why are they making us take off our shoes? So I was like, don't say the word bomb and things like that. There's just an, I get it at all. I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful to be safe. And what else is possible?
What else is possible?
What else is possible? The whole, I get padded almost every time because of something in my clothing. I don't know what it is. And it's just, it's just kind of weird to me.
Maybe your body is just asking for some more touch.
Yes, sure. It can always be more touch. Absolutely. We have only a couple more minutes before we hang up. I know there's somebody who may be calling in at the last minute, so I want to give him a couple minutes chances to do that. But Claire, do you have anything you want to add? Maybe somewhere where people can find you, something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. The best places to find me are on my website, Clearing with Claire. It's CLEARINGWITHCLAIRE. And also my Facebook page by the same name. That's where I post my events, my weekly webinars. And that's just at facebook.com/clearingwithclaire. And right now I'm in the process of building a new artist website. So that's really exciting, and I'm sure I'll share that once it's ready to go.
Ooh, I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see that. Well, Claire, I have something going on that I would love to, I don't know if you know about it or if the people on the radio know about it. So I just want to spend a couple minutes saying that one of my favorite things to do in life is to create something. So it could be a website, it could be a book, it could be a business, it could be a relationship, it could be an art project, it could be anything. I spend my life asking myself, what can I create and what can I contribute to people who create? So I put together a 30-day program that I'm actually very proud of, and it's called 30 Days to Create Anything. Because 30 days is a pretty well-known cycle for many of us. We tend to repeat things over 30 days, and once we have accomplished something in 30 days, it tends to be part of our life. So I thought 30 days would be really, really cool. Okay, our guest is... okay. So go ahead, put Tobias in. We have a guest on the line, so I'll take him. But Claire, in case I don't have a chance to say this to you, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. It was just a wonderful experience. Thank you, thank you.
Oh, yes. Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Really fun.
Yay! Tobias, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. We only have about 2 minutes in, but I wanted to hear your wonderful voice because I know your voice really well, and you contribute a lot to people that lately, especially you've been doing these recordings and sharing with us your wisdom. It just so happened that today we actually talked a lot about bodies. So is there anything you want to contribute to people in about 1 minute? Because we have 60 seconds left before we get hung up on.
let's stop judging our body. Let's stop going into a judgment about our body. And let's be aware that our bodies have total consciousness. It embodies our consciousness. And when we're judging our bodies, it's like judging our best friend.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. So stop judging your body because your body's your best friend. Thank you, Tobias. I hope that you get to be one of my guests on the show very soon. I'd love to have you and your amazing
energy.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I thought it was on at 12 o'clock, so I guess I'm an hour off. I got your messages.
No worries. Thank you so much for calling in, though. And everyone, if you are interested in the 30-day program to create anything, just go to 30daystocreate.com. And thank you all so much. Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Tobias, for calling in. I had a wonderful time, and I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness The Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?